Our first scripture reading comes from Joshua, and it is from chapter 1, verses 5b through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am sad that John Ortberg is not with us today, and if you're one of those people that never got that message and you were expecting John to be up here right now, I'm sorry. However, it has given me an opportunity to depart in a little bit from our sermon series in that we are not looking at one of the one another passages, but we are going to be focusing in on a characteristic that not only is needed in our private lives, but is especially needed in the public spheres of our lives, and that is courage. The reason that I felt like we should start talking about this is because I was just on a pilgrimage in Norway, and this was one of the things that we talked about, actually quite a bit. So bear in mind that the people that I was with some of them are our mission partners. So this is Novi. So they are regularly going into war zones to minister to children. And so, for instance, they had just been in Ukraine and some other places. And there were some other folks that were part of our group that are working and advocating for the Rohingya people who are on the edge of Myanmar. They got pushed out of Bangladesh. We've talked about them a lot. You know this. These are people who, honestly, it felt intimidating to talk about courage with them. But nonetheless, I think it's important for us as well, because we live in a time when anxiety and fear are always present. In fact, there is hardly a time that we are not sensing this, either through our news or even in our own lives. And typically the way that our world is dealing with fear is to and anxiety, I guess, to just simply try to manage it or mask it in some way or another. And what we don't hear very much about anymore is courage. And for those of us who are disciples of Jesus, we need disciples of Jesus. They cultivate courage. So with that in mind, that's what we're talking about. I'm going to read a second scripture lesson here in just a moment. But before I do, let's pause and pray. We are eager to bless you in the midst of our worship this day, knowing that you bless us. But at some level, we are also aware that if we are going to live with courage, that something needs to happen in our hearts. So create in us, Lord, pure hearts, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Help our unbelief, that we may have courage to cut free from what we have been and gamble on what we can be with your presence and help. And also that we can be responsive and go ahead and do along with you, even through trembling people like us, to do something important for your world. So give us ears to hear now your voice, your word, and this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So two stories to begin with today. So the first is familiar to some of you from the history of our own country in the midst of things, but at this particular story, the white people of New Orleans were scared, and so were the black people. A federal judge had ordered that the city open its public schools to black children, and the parents decided if they had to let black children in, that they would keep their white children out. They also let it be known that any black children who came to school would be in for trouble. So the black children stayed home also, except for Ruby Bridges. Her parents sent her to school all by herself, 6 years old, the first and for a little while the only black child to learn a lesson in that white New Orleans school. Every morning she would walk alone through a heckling crowd to an empty school. White people lined up on both sides and of the way and shook their fists at her. They threatened to do terrible things to her if she kept coming to their school. But every morning at 10 minutes to 8, Ruby walked head up, eyes ahead, straight through the mob, two U.S. Marshals in front of her, two U.S. Marshals behind her, and then she spent the day alone with her teachers in that silent school building. Robert Coles was curious about what went into the making of courageous children like Ruby, and so he went down from Harvard, where he worked, and tried to find out. He talked to Ruby's mother, and in his book that is entitled The Moral Life of Children, he told us what she said. She observed, there's a lot of people who talk about doing good and a lot of people who argue about what's good and what's not good, but there were also some other folks who just put their lives on the line for what is right. Don't you sometimes wonder what a secret spring do people like Ruby Bridges drink from? When the moment comes for them to act in the face of danger and trouble. That's what we mean by courage. The English word is a sister to the French cœur, for heart. To be courageous, something important has to happen in our heart if we're going to live with courage. So the second story is related to our first scripture reading from Joshua. Be mindful now that Joshua had just been appointed the new leader of the Israeli people, of all the Israelites that are coming in. He has to follow Moses, rather large shoes to try to fill. And once they are gone across the Jordan, there's much more for him to do. And so one of the first places that they come is the heavily fortified city of Jericho. And for me personally, I think one of Joshua's finest moments when he illustrates the most courage is long before the story happens. Maybe not a lot real long before, but certainly before. Where Joshua had to summon the courage to explain God's plan now to all of the various leaders of the people. The priests, the warriors, the generals, all of them gathered together. And I imagine that conversation going something like this. You have to use your imagination. Unfortunately, this is not recorded in our scriptures, but here's what I think about. So Joshua has all them together and he says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. So we need seven of you priests now to pull out those trumpets of ram's horns. And on the first day now that we are here, we're going to have the seven priests now lead all of our warriors, all of our army, and we're going to walk around the city. And when I say so, you're going to blow those trumpets, nobody else say a word, and then we're going to come back to camp. And tomorrow morning, the next day, we're going to get up early and we're going to go do the same thing. We're going to walk around the city, priests first, everybody, all the warriors and everything to follow. We're going to blow those trumpets and we're going to come right back to camp. We're going to do that for 6 days. The seventh day is going to be different. The seventh day, we're all going to get up. We're going to do the same thing. Well, this time, we're going to walk around the city seven times. And then when those priests blow the trumpets, I'm going to shout out, and everybody shout as loud as they can, and the walls are going to fall down, and we're going to walk right in. Can you imagine? There is something in the midst of all of that, I think, that we need to learn, that there is a unique kind of courage that is required to be obedient to God as well. Because God's ways are not our ways, and God doesn't do things the way that we would do them. So Dr. Lewis Smedes, I've told you about him before, but he said there are two forms of courage, acting well at the risk of deadly danger, and then acting well when troubles are already upon us. It's interesting, the philosophers and the theologians agree on this one aspect around courage. They say no matter what we do to count as courageous, we need the right motive for doing it. Aristotle said it is for a right and noble motive that the courageous person faces dangers and performs the actions appropriate to courage. We can run into a burning house to save a child, and that is courageous. We can run into a burning house to save our computer because it has our video games on it, and that's crazy. Years ago, there was an odd group of people that would drop themselves over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Also reminds me today, there are those people that jump off of mountains and off of tall buildings in a wingsuit. There are still other people that climb really steep faces of rock. It's called free climbing with no ropes or anything. Daredevils for sure, but few would call them courageous. You catch the difference, right? Risking everything does not count as courageous unless there's a good reason behind it. You are probably aware that courage has many faces. You can show courage by advancing. You can also show courage by retreating. You can show courage by dying for a good cause. You can show courage by living for a good cause. You can show courage by saying no to compromise, and you can show courage by making a heroic compromise. You can show courage by throwing off your yoke, and you can show courage by bearing your yoke. My observation as a pastor, there are many people who show courage just by struggling against present adversity that they might be in. And sometimes that's because of a disease that they're dealing with or because of a family issue that they're dealing with. And there's a whole lot of courage that just goes into getting through the next day. There's a whole lot of other people that deal with courage just by the sense of they have had some devastating loss, a family member or something, and just by actually reaching out to live well with that loss, takes significant courage. It takes courage to stand up to a bully or to your enemy, and it also will take courage to confront a friend when it's needed. And when it comes to obedience in God, courage requires discernment, so that we are able to tell for sure whether this is God's will or if it's just something we want. In the story that I read you in Acts, the whole thing, did I actually read that story or not? Did I read it? I did not read it. Wow. We're going to read it now. just to set this up, I can't believe I just did that. So this is about Peter and John, and what sets up this whole story is that they have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, healed a man who was lame from birth right in front of the temple, and then there's a whole bunch of things that happen, and they are taken into custody, and then it says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And then this, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in Acts, part of what is worth noting is that their accusers recognize in Peter and John courage. And they are astonished. And when you think about Peter's own life and his moments of denial and all kinds of other things, it is a really important moment. And so for us as well, what does it mean for us to cultivate courage? Again, I'm sort of leaning on Dr. Smeed's a little bit for a few of these, but the first thing is this, only frightened people have it. You know, the soldiers of World War II and all the stories we've learned, they knew that being afraid and having courage went together like being thirsty and taking a drink. There is a quote that I found from Sid Dumpf. He was a soldier in Vietnam, and he wrote this, "We were all scared every second, and we could never make it if we didn't admit that to each other." It is an interesting paradox, isn't it? that to cultivate courage requires admitting that you are afraid. Those who boast about, I'm not afraid, are not being truthful for one, and second of all, are likely to fail when it comes to courage. On the other hand, those who say, I am afraid, and admit it, have opened themselves up to something else. Now, that whole notion fits really well with the stories that we know from the Bible. Those who admit their fears, they are promised God's presence. And that is enough. That is enough to take the first steps into courage. It was true for Joshua, it was true for Moses before him, it was true for Esther, for Hannah, for all the other people we could think about, for Samuel, for David, for Jesus himself. In the midst of facing fear and anxiety, to actually admit it, and particularly with God, to ask then for his presence. God doesn't always promise that it's going to turn out the way that you want. What he always promises is that he will be with us. So that's the first thing. The second is that people get courage from the stories that they've heard. One of the things that Robert Coles did in his book, The Moral Life of Children, that I was just telling you about, is that when he went down to investigate about Ruby Bridges, he discovered that even though she was only six, she had been exposed to a plethora of stories from her own family and from her church and from the community that she was in. Stories that have about people who had had the courage to stand up and to do something that was for good. The Hebrew people understood this as well, and those parents told their children the stories of how God led their ancient ancestors out of bondage and slavery and in and through the wilderness and into the promised land. And courage seeped almost like osmosis into the hearts of those sons and daughters. So parents, I want to encourage you. Last week we had Bible Sunday and we gave all of our second graders a new Bible. Please don't let those just sit on the shelf. Those stories help us to learn what it means to be courageous. You probably have stories of ordinary people, family or friends, maybe even neighbors, who acted well in difficult moments. So only frightened people have courage. And we get courage sometimes through the stories that we hear. And then finally, at least for today, I would say, well, not quite finally, sorry, I just realized that I about made two endings. So almost the next to the last point here is that the third one is that a memory of cowardice may be the birth of courage. We all lose our nerve sometimes, right? We all get scared. And once in a while, we all slink away when we are in the midst of confronting a fear. C.S. Lewis, I think, really understood this. And in his book, The Screwtape Letters, and mindful now that you have to think a little bit backwards here. Screwtape is one of Satan's lieutenants, and he's writing to an apprentice demon named Wormwood. So you have to think a little bit backwards, but Screwtape advises, Wormwood said, that people who do cowardly things are often so ashamed of themselves that they get converted. And he says to Wormwood, it's possible to lose as much as we gain by making your person a coward. He may learn too much about himself. By way of example, Winston Churchill once told his brother, being in many ways a coward, especially when I was in school, there is no ambition I cherish so keenly as to gain a reputation of personal courage. For disciples of Jesus, courage is a key attribute. It's helpful to remember that only frightened people have it, and when we admit it, we actually draw a little closer to God. It's helpful to remember that we get courage by hearing the right kinds of stories, and our Bible is just full of these kind of stories. And that even a memory of cowardice may be the birth of courage for you and me. But bottom line, and here really is the last point, in the Bible anyway, courage begins And it ends with God himself. Because God is love. And 1 John 4:8 says, perfect love casts out, drives out what? You know it. What does perfect love cast out? Fear. Remember it. Perfect love casts out fear. It drives it out. And it seems really significant to me that Joshua was not promised success. He was promised obedience if he were to follow with it, but he was promised that God would be with him. The same is true of the other story. Peter and John, the accusers, recognized their courage, but they also recognized that they had been with Jesus. You want courage? You stay close to God. You get close to God. Silence, solitude, prayer, scripture, worship, all these things help us stay close to God. And the ultimate invitation to each and every one of us is to walk with God. Let's be honest about our anxiety and fear. Most of all, though, today, may each and every one of us hear God's voice. Only be strong and courageous. And be careful to obey everything I have commanded you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.